This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning and welcome in on the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan. We have got Jake Cantu in the executive producer chair. Shay's got the day off. Jay Moore's at his rightful spot at the controls. And Hoodie's got the day off. Enjoy it, my man.
Jesse Rogers is here. Let's have some fun.
We've seen Jesse went out to the airport this morning. Justin Verlander, Jamer Candelario, Kyle Finnegan, Blake Snell, and Josh Hader were all there.
They're all coming in. I've been up for 24 straight hours. I got another 36 to go before this deadline. I'm ready to rock and roll. Cap, good morning. I mean, look, I'm a reporter, but I'm also a fan. That was a hell of a fun weekend watching the Cubs and Cardinals.
Oh, my goodness.
That was unbelievable.
That catch Friday night.
Wow. We'll play it. We've got a bunch.
We've got a bunch to get.
We'll celebrate. That catch
was amazing.
Was unreal.
That's why they have to end this season with a postseason run. Because then you look back at that catch and you'll be like, you'll remember where you were for that catch.
Correct.
This season half. That's why. I mean, I was on the air with Hanley and Jeff yesterday, Meller, and they asked me about, you know, buying or selling, and I started laughing. I'm like, have you been watching? It's 8 in a row at that time before they lost yesterday.
Right.
Did you see the catch? You think Jed can walk through that clubhouse if he starts trading guys? No, they forced his hand. They forced his hand, and good for them. They won when they needed to. Doesn't mean it ends in a World Series. Doesn't even mean it ends with a playoff appearance. It doesn't matter.
Correct.
Doesn't matter. They forced his hand exactly when they needed to, and now they're going to add, and we're going to have some fun games the next 2 months.
We are, and tonight the Reds are in town, a really good, young, athletic team, and a team the Cubs have to run down. So you're at home, and tomorrow is the trade deadline at 5 o'clock Central.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to talk about a lot of opportunities they have out there. I've been working the phones like Jesse has.
And I got to tell you, right now, this has all happened so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody really knows right now, maybe we will in the next 24 hours, even before the deadline, who exactly they're targeting. And what I mean by that is how big of a target. And that's what we're going to talk about here. Like, are they going small on the edges, which is what I assume. I've only talked to a few teams that have talked to them because they were waiting. They hadn't made a decision until recently. So are they going small, Cap? Mm-hmm. Or are they going, get to the airport and get me Verlander, get me Josh Hader, like you were saying. Like, are they going big or are they going small? I don't know. I do know they're $5 million away from that luxury tax. But Ricketts got that in his back pocket. Let's go, Cap.
Now, the one thing, I talked to a former GM yesterday.
Yes.
And it's not Theo, everybody. Mm. This former GM mm-hmm. said to me, if it was him, he would have sold. He said, if it was me, I would have sold. I said, you can't. You can't do it. Not here again with this market. They are just scarred from everything that's going on. And he understood.
Okay, good. Because if he was here doing the job, feeling the city, understanding what's going on in the last couple of years, he wouldn't.
So he said he would absolutely add to the bullpen. He would try and get Jamer Candelario if he was doing this.
We talked about him, yeah.
Again, he said my first blush was I would sell because I think I could get a haul. But he said, if you told me we're adding on, he said, I would absolutely add another starter. He mentioned Blake Snell, who might get moved out of San Diego
because sure.
he's in the last year of his deal. Yeah. He also said he would trade Stroman.
Whew.
He said,
subtract the debt.
He said, I think you've gotten the best out of Marcus Stroman. I don't think going to another level.
He's not the only person that thinks that. I was talking to scouts last night. A lot of them say that. Now, maybe they're all prisoner of the moment. He's struggling right now. Would they have said get rid of Taillon 2 months ago? Maybe. So they've switched positions, Taillon and Stroman. But he is smaller. He is struggling. There are some concerns. You talk to scouts. You talk to former GMs. I don't know. The one thing you would do is if you did trade Stroman, it would open up some luxury tax space there.
That's what he said.
You know, you could do and, some things
and
like
he,
that.
And he said the average fan's going to go, Ricketts is a billionaire. Spend the luxury tax. He said the problem with that is, he goes, go back and look. You got to reset at some point because otherwise the penalties become so punitive.
Yeah.
He said the Dodgers reset. The Yankees reset. He goes, the richest teams in the game, other than the Mets, right. reset. And where are the Mets now?
And remember, after they sign Ohtani, they're going to go past that tax every year.
By a mile.
So you may as well wait right. until you have to pass it. I personally don't think they will. You and I have had a disagreement, and we talked about it Friday. We talk about it every time I'm on with you about third base. I would not use my powder. I would not use my assets monetarily or prospect base on third base. You probably haven't dug deep on it, but if you combined your buddy Mastroboni with uh-huh. Madrigal, with
my
Wisdom,
buddy.
With Morrell, if you combined all their third basemen, they're mid-pack. Now, mid-pack's not great, but they're not 30th on defense and 30th on offense at third base if you combine them all. And by the way, and we can get into this, I think David Ross has done a magnificent job. Magnificent job, especially lately, navigating Drew Smyly's struggles. That was one of the best managed games I've seen in a long time, Friday. When they started Wesneski, he gives up the home run to Nootbaar. Then Smyly comes in. He gives up the home run to Nootbaar.
That's the only 2 runs?
Only 2 runs. They score. He maneuvers Bellinger, center field, first base, Tauchman out in center. He's been maneuvering third base, navigating third base all season long. I said this on the air over the weekend. Like, I don't blame the manager. Like, if Suzuki doesn't have enough power or Michael Fulmer doesn't come through or Brad Boxberger doesn't come. When veterans don't come through, that's not
the manager's fault.
Right. When you're getting the most out of Mike Tauchman, that's where I give credit to the manager. When you're putting Madrigal at third and you're actually getting something at least defensively and a little bit of offense out of Madrigal, who thought he could play third base? He's actually looked pretty good there. So I'm going to give David Ross a lot of credit after everybody was crapping on him. And I said, wait a minute, let's see how this plays out. Anyway, I would not use my assets on third base. I would use it all on the mound. I'd get a lefty, I'd get a righty, and maybe even a starter. I'm talking lefty-righty bullpen and maybe a starter, and that's what I would do.
So you could piecemeal third base with Wisdom, Madrigal, Morrell.
I think you have to pick and choose where
your battles. I tell you what, Nick Madrigal over the weekend, he was ridiculously good defensively, and he hit the ball.
I was told in spring training, said, Jesse, I think he's going to be leadoff man and third base from somebody that's really close with him. Third base and leadoff man. I wasn't leadoff man. I said, third base? This is just when they moved him. I'm like, come on, is he really going to start there? He played shortstop in college. He only moved over for an injury. He actually has the arm. Now, it takes like 3 steps for him to gun it over to first, but he has looked decent there. He's looked decent. I think they leave third. I think they leave their position players alone. Look, the offense is peaking. Now, it could go backwards. Look, the schedule's been easy. It could go backwards. But I think between Smyly and Stroman and Leiter being used up, like, and Anthony Kay, your only lefty, I think they use their assets there.
The Cardinals sell-off continues. Jordan Montgomery and Chris Stratton.
Stratton, yep.
They now pitch for Texas.
Jordan Hicks,
he now plays in Toronto.
I'm sure everybody in Chicago is just devastated by the Cardinals sell-off.
Oh, my goodness.
It's about time they get a taste of the Chicago medicine we've had for most of 115 years, other than a couple there.
So what would you do? They've made it clear now. Cody Bellinger is not being moved. My friend Jesse Rogers, first to report that story yesterday. And Bellinger is staying. And there are many of you out there, don't like that. I would sell. No. No, 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 no. No, you can't walk in that. First of all, as one guy who I trust said to me, you go in that room and tell those guys, yeah, we just traded Cody Bellinger to the Yankees or wherever he went. He said, you want to talk about deflating not just that room, the organization? We've worked so hard to get back to this point, and you're going to pull the plug on us? No chance.
Yeah, it's so interesting. the timing of all this, Cap, because look, you wake up today, you go to Fangraphs, it's 0.3% to win the World Series. It's 24% to get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's 16% to win the division. But think about that. Would you take a chance, a 1-4 chance? Would you run with that? I would. 1-4 chance.
And it was 30 yesterday before the game, right. 31.
And Baseball Reference does a little different. They say 46% to make the playoffs. So, but still, it's still 75% against it. But I don't throw away the season when you're on a run like this. Now, they're one game over. If they were 10 over and went back to 1 over today, we would feel differently. We probably would say so. But that's not what's going on. You have to look at the moment in time here. They've gone on a run. You've got to give that team a chance. And my final thing, and I've argued with Sylvie about this, like, because he's been on the other side of it, although I think he's come around. Like, we'll never know the prospect or two we don't get back for Bellinger. So just put it out of your mind. Just move on. Just move on. I mean, I understand, like, even if I said sell because I'm a reporter and it's like the right thing to do because I'm Mr. Reporter. But if you're a fan, what do you care? Get off the internet. Don't look at prospect rankings. Just enjoy the next 2 months.
Okay, so if you're out there right now and you're a baseball fan, how would you handle this? How would you handle the deadline? You do not want to give up. For me, there's two prospects I'm not trading. That's Pete Crow Armstrong and Cade Horton, who projects by every scout I've asked as a number one starter.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't trade Ben Brown as well. Young starting pitching is
very
so
tough
important.
To get.
It's tough to get. It's important. That's a good question. Would you trade a prospect in their top 10? With, you know, a good, that means a good prospect, or someone outside the top 10. If it's in the top 10, you're in the ballpark for Snell and Hader and these guys. You might take more than one, but top 10 or outside the top 10. I think those are good questions. What kind of degree of buying would you go, knowing the standings, knowing the odds, but on top of it, knowing the National League isn't very strong after Atlanta?
Correct. Atlanta's the one team. But if you win the division, you don't play them.
No.
And who did we see get taken out last year? Atlanta by the Phillies.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. I was there.
Right.
Yes.
So
yes.
Atlanta all of a sudden goes, oh, God, we're out? Mm-hmm. What do you mean we're out? You're out.
If they're out in the first round, the National League is wide open.
Anyone can go to the World Series.
And I've talked to GMs. I mentioned this on the air, too. They agree. That's why Miami gets David Robertson. That's why these perennial, not so good teams are like, you know what? We need to go for it because there's only one great team in the National League, and anybody can be beaten in a series. You're not beating. You don't have to go through three or four rounds of unbelievable elite teams. Right now, it's one. Even the Dodgers look beatable.
Okay, so we're open up the phone lines 312-332-3776. Do you want the Cubs to make a big move? It'll cost you a lot in prospects, or a small move on the edges, as Jesse called it. We talked to a bunch of different GMs between us. What would you do? 312-332-3776. It's the Cap J. Hood Show. Jesse in for Hoodie. We'll be right back.
Cap and J. Hood are back.
First time caller. Huge fan of your guys' show.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
So the news yesterday was, and first reported by the great Jesse Rogers, wildly connected, Cody Bellinger is not available. That's right. And I was, after I heard you report that, I made some calls around the league and said, take me inside the thought process there. And this one really good contact in the game said, man, these guys in that room took it personally. You're going to sell our guys? No shot.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great run. Remember, they started coming out of the break. They were 3-4. They lost 2-3 to Boston. They lost the first game to Washington. Then all of a sudden started turning. Now, the schedule helped.
Yeah.
But so what? Everybody has to play the same kind of schedule. And then they go on this run, which literally, if instead of 8 in a row, if they go 6-2, we might be selling here, right? Mm-hmm. They literally needed to go 8-0 during that run, and then 8-1 to finish off the weekend to get this there, and they actually did it. It was quite something. And my question to people, because as a reporter, I'm mostly at the game in the locker room, but Friday, You know, I'd done all this White Sox all week. Friday, I sat on my couch with my stepson. So, I mean, I don't want to say it's like, where were you for the JFK assassination? He's like, but, you know, where were you when Mike Tauchman made that catch? Give us your I wish cameras were rolling. You know how you get the reaction video?
Oh,
you know, for a championship moment. I want, because my stepson and I went bonkers. Went bonkers.
Yeah, it was like a playoff game. And I know it was against the lousy Cardinals who are having a bad year.
Who cares?
Right. But I'm watching the game. It's Friday night. My wife says, oh, great. Another Cubs bullpen going to blow it. I'm like, would you relax? Alzheimer's really good. I really like this kid. Base hit, two on. She's like, I'm going to bed.
Oh, the double play was great, too.
Yeah. I'm like, you're not going to bed. Stay right there. Don't you dare move. Okay, she stays. And the double play, that was a tough double play. Horner to Swanson to first. It was Bellinger,
yeah.
And two outs. I'm like, here we go. And then when that ball left Alec Burleson's bat, the way it tracked, the crack of the bat was scary. Oh, man, that ball smoked. But then I watched Tauchman. I'm like, hey, he's got that at the, you know, right, backpedaling toward
kept
the track.
Going,
kept going back. And when he turned his back a little, I'm like, oh, no. And he leaps up, and I see that. You could see it on HD TV. He caught it.
Right. I think it's one of those great moments that, you know, like I said, put it up there with the JFK asset. Where were you?
You losing a walk-off.
In the air, center field. Tauchman back. Back some more near the wall. And he caught it.
Oh, yes, he did. Oh,
holy goodness.
God.
He saved the game. Mike Tauchman with a game-saving grab over the wall. And the Cubs win.
I think maybe I was channeling Boo because all I tweeted was holy cow and everyone's like what you know if you're not watching you know what that means but that was great. That so where were you for that Tauchman moment? What was it like in your house? Again, I'm Mr. like unemotional reporter, right? I went nuts. I'm like, oh my god, Steve's going all the way.
I'm standing in front of the TV for the last out. I always do that. I'm standing in front of this monster TV and I'm like, oh god. When he caught it, I got my hands in the air like we won the World
it's
Series.
Crazy. It's crazy. Oh, it's fun. That's what's great about baseball.
It is. It's the best. Let's go to Kevin in Houston. Hey, Kevin, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
How are good. You doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Just on my way to work. I'm trying not to melt down here in Texas right now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, it's humid. But, hey, so a couple of thoughts. I know we're always talking about adding to the bullpen. I heard you guys talk about that earlier. And normally when you think of a bullpen arm, you think of flamethrowers, guys that throw 1,000 miles an hour. What about going the other way? And there's a dude in Colorado who's been really good, and that's Brent Suter.
Yeah, I like Brent Suter a lot. First of all, you bring him back in the division. He knows a lot. You're going to be facing Milwaukee. He knows them. Smart guy. He went to Harvard. Not that that has anything to do with it. He's been he got hurt, but he was pitching well before, and now he's back. He makes nothing. I think it'd be a great trade. Colorado's one of these weird organizations. They're sitting on their hands, and all of a sudden, boom, they made that trade last night. So it sounds like they're open for business. They also have Brad Hand. They have two lefties the Cubs could use, neither making big money. The Cubs talked to Brad Hand in the offseason, and so there was some interest in him, Kevin. I think either one of those would be good additions, but I like Brent Suter a lot.
Absolutely. Then one more thing. I know, again, we have a huge logjam at third. I know you guys were talking about piecemealing these guys together, but, again, it seems like Patrick Wisdom is sort of rotting away on the bench. What do you think about including him in a deal?
You're not getting anything for Patrick Wisdom. Nothing.
No, you're probably not. He's a specialist now facing lefties. You could throw him in a package. Let's say you did trade Stroman. You could throw him in. Some team needs some right-handed pop. But right, Cap's right, Kevin. He's not any centerpiece of a deal. But it would unclog you at third if you did some three-team thing. Candelario comes, he goes. I mean, sure. But I just don't think they're going to spend many assets on the position players. I could be wrong.
We'll see.
Yeah, you're right.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a great day, man. Appreciate the call. 312-332-3776. You are sitting in that seat. Everyone thinks it's so easy. You know, it's amazing on Twitter. Just do this. Just do that. Write that check. It's not that easy. If it was, anybody would get that job.
And I think you know this as well. You have some contacts with ownership. I think ownership from the get-go
has wanted to push in.
Yeah, but going back to like January, they were the ones, like they don't want to keep seeing this. Jed is the one that's more methodical than even ownership.
Correct.
It's usually the other way around, right? I don't want to spend the ownership wants to see August to September be exciting. It's cool.
So here is Brent Suter of the Rockies. By the way, where was Brent Suter born?
Chicago.
That's correct. Chicago. Very good. Chicago guy.
But I don't think he lived here much. Like high school was, where was high school? I can't remember now. Wasn't around here.
So he you could tell he was banged up because he did not pitch well at the middle of June, and then he went on the injured list.
Yeah, I think it was an oblique.
So he got roughed up in Atlanta, a lot of people do, in an inning, then had a scoreless outing, and then they shut him down from June 20th to July 19, he did not pitch. And since he's come back, he's gone scoreless inning, scoreless two innings, scoreless two innings. He gave up two runs to Oakland on Saturday and then pitched again on Sunday and went an inning of scoreless relief. Did give up a couple hits. He's not a huge upgrade.
No. He's not Josh Hader. Let's put it that way. He is just probably better than Anthony Kay. Like, that's the goal. You got to be 1%, 5%, 10% better come tomorrow at 5 o'clock than you are today. He makes you better. He doesn't put you over the top.
Okay, Brad Hand, the guy you mentioned.
Yeah,
he's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
His numbers are not great.
But is he better than Anthony Kay?
Probably. 312-332-3776. Jim's next. Hey, Jim, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, Cap, you got me here?
Got you right there, man.
Huge fan of the show. Jesse, love your work as well.
Thanks.
We need to buy plain and simple. I mean, don't go out and mortgage the future, right? But go out and get Hader. Go out and get a third base bat. How many times do we see teams get in? And you made a good point earlier. The Braves are hot, but we've seen them lose last year. I know it's a balance, but I can't understand selling prospects. Doing that tells me we're trying to replicate the 2016 Cubs. And that's hard to do, a farm system all aligning with a few key pieces in the league. I think we buy. Just want to hear your thoughts. Who else is out there outside of Candelario and Hader that you'd like to see on the team?
Appreciate it. Thanks, man. Have a great day. So if you were sitting there and the prospect capital was significant for a rental, Josh Hader, but it's not the top two guys, obviously.
Okay.
Ben Brown, you get Hader. You doing it?
Oh, boy. That is the million-dollar question. It really is. Sure. Sure. Because the idea of Alzolay pitching the eighth.
Yep.
Let's go backwards. Leiter pitching the seventh. Alzolay the eighth. Hader the ninth. Sign me up for 2 months. I want to watch that.
So do I.
We're talking emotionally, right? He does have to take emotion out of it and think about the future.
Yeah, but hold on. I can re-sign Josh Hader.
True. I'm going to say yes. Yeah, I would say no to PCA or Cade Horton. My instinct is to say no to Ben Brown, but sign me up. It can't be more than him. Like, you know, it can't be him and another top 10. It has to be him and maybe some fringe guy.
Right.
Sign me up.
Right.
I just can't. I want to see that for 2 months.
Can you imagine he's coming in?
And anything I say yes to, Cap, is a lot based on that, on what we said at the top. The National League is, the Cubs are no worse, maybe no better, than Miami, San Francisco, Arizona. They're all in the same group, especially now that the Cubs have found themselves on offense. So that's why I'm saying yes to these things, because it's mediocre. And even if you get to Atlanta, they're not, you know, if you can somehow shut them down from hitting home runs in one series for a few games, you could beat them. They're a home run hitting team. That's what they are. With an okay pitching staff, it's not the best starting staff I've ever seen. So even they, I think, are beatable. They were last year.
312-332-3776. Steve's out in Crystal Lake. Hey, Steve, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I just want to say I couldn't be more excited just to continue to watch the Cubbies the rest of this summer and actually mean something. And if I were the GM, this is what I would do. I would reward this team and try and add and make them better for playing themselves into it. But with the big picture in mind, I want to look back at this the way this weekend was and be like, this is the time where we decided that the Cubs are going to be winning time now. We're not doing any more selling off. We're flipping the switch. Let's go.
Yeah, and again, and appreciate the call. Thanks, Steve. When he says, let's go. Again, you do have to keep an eye on the future and go, all right, this team was not built to win the World Series this year.
Right.
They arrived a little earlier. They're playing better. I'm with you, David Ross. I thought having a real shaky bullpen, which Jed has said, that's on us, not him. That's on the front office. He's kept them alive, afloat. Guys play hard for him. Guys like playing for him. So where this all leads, I got to think you're going to add two relievers.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jamer Candelario's coming. I don't.
Yeah.
And again, I was told yesterday by someone who knows that Mike Rizzo has said, I got seven teams. I believe the Cubs are one of them.
Yeah.
Whoever gives me the prospect I want out of their system, first guy gets him.
Yeah, and I don't think it'd be the Cubs. I think someone else, the Yankees should be a lot more desperate even than the Cubs.
The Yankees aren't going
for anymore. Like no.
Why would
not
they do that
for Candelaria? But they should if they're interested, they should be acting more desperate than the Cubs or other teams. And the Yankees haven't done anything yet. When we come back, I don't want to completely take away the optimism, but I do want to talk about the other side of it. Like if you push some chips in, what might happen, and also why this run was a little predictable. I want to talk about all this when we come back, Cap, because I think there's the other side of the equation as well.
All right, 312-332-3776. You want the Cubs to make a big move? That would be pricey capital wise in terms of prospects. Or a small couple moves on the edges. What would you do? 312-332-3776. You're listening to ESPN 1000. You can get us on Twitch. You can get us on 100.3 HD2 AM 1000 or on our app.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
7 a.m. hour brought to you by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Cubs had their 8-game winning streak snapped yesterday after they fell to the Cardinals 3-0. Cubs starter Kyle Hendricks, 3 runs on 8 hits over 7 innings, a quality start, but he got nothing from his offense. This was Chicago's longest winning streak since an 11-game run back in 2016. Cubs open a big 4-game series home tonight against the Cincinnati Reds. This is a massive start for the struggling Marcus Stroman. The Guardians defeated the White Sox Sunday 5-0. White Sox right-hander Michael Kopech allowed 3 runs, 4 hits, 5 innings, walked 5. He has just 1 win in his last 10 starts. When asked to describe his performance, he said, "I was pathetic." The Sox are off today and will begin a 3-game series in Texas starting tomorrow in the Women's World Cup. USA will face off against Portugal tomorrow morning at 2 a.m. Central Time in New Zealand. The U.S. can advance simply with a draw, but hopes to win Group E by defeating Portugal, though it might come down to goal differential. Jay Moore!
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on with the great Jesse Rogers in for Jonathan Hood. He'll be back tomorrow, Thursday. We're live from Hallis Hall. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. As we're asking you what you would like to see the Cubs do, or what would you do if you were the man making the decisions?
Yeah, and I want to bring up why this was a little bit predictable, and I was on your show often saying I think they're going to inch back to 500. They did in London, and then, of course, it went backwards. Now they're in line with what a lot of people predicted preseason, what Vegas predicted preseason. We'll see if they can now go past all that. I thought they were 80 to 83 win team. They're sort of on that pace. But here's the thing. The one thing I kept saying, especially to Carmen, and he knows this, I kept saying it, Cap, some of their numbers – the clutch numbers, the high leverage moments when a game can turn. Listen closely. They were so bad. They were so out of whack that I kept thinking, it's got to come back to the Pack. Their offensive numbers in clutch moments, again, they ranked 30th by a mile. I knew it was fluky. It had to be fluky. Now, you can have a fluky thing that happens for a full season, but there was this feeling, even within the Cubs, that that's going to come back, and it finally has. They are now no longer ranked 30th in clutch moments. They're ranked 29th, which isn't great, but it's now back to sort of closer to the rest of the league. And they passed the Padres, who are the worst team on clutch. So here's the thing. It just could settle in there. Like, there's nothing that tells me they're going to keep going in that direction. Like, this might be the best they are, just to give the other side of the coin. And now the schedule, as of today, toughens up for at least 2 weeks, although the Mets don't look as scary now. So this is going to be very interesting. They're going to add. They could go backwards a little bit. That is a real possibility based on what I'm talking about here. They made this push. Clutch moments like Talkman. Clutch moments where now they're winning the closer games. But it doesn't mean it's going to last for two more months. Now, if they're not good, it could just be your normal variance. Where when they were really bad, it was bound to come back to the Pack in a good way, and it has. So let's just see what happens here. Next 2 weeks are huge because... They host Atlanta.
Yeah, they're in New York.
New York, and then in Toronto. Not easy as well. Then it lightens up again. I'm just interested to see the whole dynamic. Trade deadline, air, you know, the air comes out of the balloon. You take a breath, and all of a sudden, you know, you can lose 5 of 6, and you're back to 6 or 7 out, and we're sort of climbing again, or their team is climbing again. So I just want to throw that out there. They're back to being better in clutch moments, but there's nothing that says it's going to continue.
312-332-3776. Lori is in Glen Ellen. Hey, Lori.
Oh, yes, hello.
Hey, Lori.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, I know the Cubs took Bellinger off the trade market, but what if in the 11th hour, because every time they make a call, everybody wants Pete Carmstrong, and they're probably hanging up. So what about if in the 11th hour teams get desperate and they try and get something for Bellinger just so they...
Bellinger is not being moved, period. That's what teams have been told. Thank you for the call.
They could always change their mind if they get blown out tonight. But, yeah, it just doesn't sound like they're moving him because they think they have a shot, and they do have a shot.
Correct. Let's go to Kevin in Hinsdale. Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Jess? What's up, Cap?
You.
Yeah, so... As a lifelong Cub fan and former season ticket holder, you know, my question is, why wouldn't they just sign some bullpen arms in the beginning of the year, and now we don't have to talk about trading prospects? I mean, anybody who thinks that the Cubs are going to make a big splash and go into the luxury tax, I would caution it because they should have done it at the beginning of the year. We might even be a couple games better than 500 right now. What's changed?
Yeah, it's actually a good point.
Thanks,
Kevin. They did look into it. They would have pushed past the luxury tax. They didn't want to do that. They thought Brandon Hughes would be a solid lefty. He was hurt from day one. Kevin's right. They didn't do enough. Jed admitted that.
He said.
He did not do enough.
This bullpen is on me and our staff, not on the baseball manager.
They actually didn't. You know, Brad Hand was out there. Britton was out there. And they thought Brandon Hughes would be okay.
Who's the kid? Is it Will Smith?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the name I brought up.
In Texas. He's
signed March 4th, I believe, for $1 million. His ERA has been good all year. I don't know what it is right now, but he could have easily helped you.
And they question.
Now, he had a terrible year last year, so you have to roll the dice, but they stopped short of doing enough in that bullpen for sure.
312-332-3776. Baseball has got to grab center stage. We will get to the Bears, I promise you. They'll have pads on this week for the first time. We'll be up there on Thursday. We are the home of the Bears, but the trade deadline is 34 hours away, 34 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, the Reds are in town. Going to be an electric week, I would assume, at Wrigley. 4 night games with this upstart Reds. Tommy Waddle is going to be watching. By the way, he texted. Good intel. Brent Suter went to Moeller High School. I did not know that off the
cuff
without looking it up. Harvard and Moeller and then Harvard. Somehow Waddle went Moeller and then BC. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
Correct. let's go to Steve in Lombard. Hey, Steve.
Good morning. I called in Thursday and said, here's what could happen for the Cubbies. And Cap, you agreed, 5-1. So you and I have vision, and the rest of the world has bifocals. Here's what we need, a reliever with closer experience. Brad Hand, still available?
Yep.
Yeah, he's been okay. He hadn't been great.
Yeah, I mean, Hayter would be the prize.
But we need one with the same experience, okay? Suter, the former Brewer, is available. I like him as an eighth-inning guy. So we need help at the back end there. And you're right, Cap, we got a tough stretch here. But starting August 15th, we got 12 games against teams under 500. So this is a long way from over.
Yeah, the long way to go. Appreciate the call, Steve. Have a great week, man.
You couldn't have asked for a better time to play the Cardinals twice in the span of a week. This is the first time in decades they're selling. It's a distraction, that locker room. Nolan Arenado, like, is he going to go? Like, they were not focused on baseball. Perfect time to take advantage, and the Cubs certainly did. And like, so what if the schedule's easy? That's what it is. You know, it gets hard, it gets easy, it gets hard. That's how it works. And it got easy exactly when the Cubs needed it.
Don't forget, Jonathan on Twitter said, don't forget the front office. You mentioned Brandon Hughes. They also thought Cody Hoyer would be back by this
true.
Point.
Yeah, that's true.
And he got hurt again. 312-332-3776. We are at Halas this week. We'll have Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll take more of your baseball calls with the deadline 34 hours and 14 minutes away. Be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Rolling on with the great Jesse Rogers, resplendent in his obvious shirts, JD t-shirt.
And there you go.
Memory of our great lost teammate, Jeff Dickerson. Hard to believe JD would be 2 years that he'll be gone in December.
Never.
Crazy.
Gone but not forgotten.
No, that guy was never. Awesome.
Never.
Awesome. Hoodie has the day off today. He will be back tomorrow. And correction, E1 scoring on me.
What happened?
We are at Halas on Wednesday, not Thursday.
Oh.
Wednesday.
Oh.
We'll all be out there.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
I mean, it's not like people can come see you there, so it doesn't really matter if you screwed up the day.
But still.
Right?
I like to be accurate.
Well, I know you do.
So I was wrong.
You know. So they're not lining up at Halas to watch you on, you know what I mean? Because they can't.
Correct.
Of course they would if
they
could.
They would much prefer watch us do the show than Justin.
Yeah, that's right.
100%. 312-332-3776. We're going back to the phones. Jesse, again, the story yesterday that he broke. Cody Bellinger has been taken off the trade market. Jesse working the phones, and he's got sources all over the game. And the one source who is out watching players says, hey, Jess, I've been following Cody Bellinger, and I was just told by the Cubs, you can stop because we're not trading him.
Weeks of scouting down the drain because the Cubs kept winning.
Right, this guy was following.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a bunch of teams.
He was here. Yeah, a bunch of. He was here. He was in St. Louis. I mean, there were others as well, like you just said. And took a left turn. Said, "All right, how's Dylan Carlson looking?"
Yeah, wow, what a drop off.
Yeah,
jeez. Let's go to Rob. He's next. Hey, Rob, what's up, Cookie?
Bellinger, I want to see him make an offer. He's the cornerstone of the Cubs, the future. President.
What do you mean make an offer? What does that mean?
I want to see the Cubs try and sign him. I know there's 24 hours left to try and get it done, but I want to hear that they made a significant attempt to sign him.
Well,
talk about an injection to the ball club. I don't care who you trade for. The Cubs hear that they've signed him for whatever it is. I think that's just as much as picking up a player or two.
Well, Rob, first of all, they can sign him Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It doesn't matter.
Okay,
the trade
well,
doesn't change anything. But here's the thing, Rob. With Scott Boras as his agent, you'd have to give him some number that would just blow everyone out of the water. Now, maybe that's what you're suggesting, but he is, barring that crazy number, taking him to free agency no matter what.
Well, I mean, nobody is going to dance with you unless you ask him. So, I mean, yeah. Boras has to take an offer to him. And maybe it's not going to be totally Boris's offer. Maybe he likes it here. Maybe he's comfortable here. Maybe he'll take a little less to stay in Chicago. You just don't know if you don't try.
No,
and to me, that could be an infusion as much as getting a player.
Yeah, I could see them doing it before November 1st, you know, before every other team can negotiate with him. I just, when the way Boris operates, there's just not that kind of communication at the deadline.
Yeah, and Rob, thanks, man. Appreciate it. What I just am mystified by, because a lot of guys do not hire Scott Boris for that very reason. What I'm mystified by is the agent works for you, not the other way around. And I read a story this weekend as I was doing homework on this that Alex Rodriguez said he gets drafted number one.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle is not giving him what Scott thinks he should get as the number one pick. This was before everything was slotted, pretty much slotted.
Yeah.
And it came down to they're like 2 hours from the deadline, or he goes back in the draft a year later.
Right.
Which means you've got to stay healthy for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to play somewhere, which you can get hurt playing anywhere.
Yep.
And you're leaving how much money on the table? How many millions? And he said he called Scott and said, I'm taking their offer. What? No, you can't do it. I'm taking the offer. You want to keep representing me? That's fine. I'm signing the deal. And he did.
Yeah, and you're right. Some players have that in their nature to do that. Other players just want their agent to do it. And by this time in Scott Boris's career, if you've hired him, you want him to do all that. I mean, you got to also understand, players have one chance most of the time to be wooed and wowed and wined and dined and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his one chance. After three bad years, he's 28, gold glove, on a winning team now, performing. He wants to hear from everyone. That's his prerogative, and that's how he wants to go. Most guys want that, especially when they hire Scott Boris.
Okay, here's the other thing. If, again, I'm not him. I never will be.
Yeah.
If I was Cody Bellinger, I'm saying to myself, okay, I had a really rough go in L.A. after the MVP.
Sure.
My numbers were worse than Jason Hayward, who we ran out of town.
Yeah.
I got into a good rhythm here. I'm in a room where he has talked. This is a great room. This is as good a group of guys as I've played with.
Mm.
We actually are on the uptick. Mm-hmm. There's good prospects coming. They have payroll flexibility, and they're going to spend it. You know what? You guys come correct with a solid offer, I'm in.
By the way, we might have this backwards. Maybe the Cubs don't want him because they're saving their powder for somebody out in California.
You're talking about Ohtani?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. I think I've said this on the air. I said it recently. It's Passan said this a month ago. It's not so much that the Cubs would the Cubs be interested in Ohtani and would spend. The answer is yes. Let's be clear. The Cubs would spend on Ohtani. Would Ohtani be interested in the Cubs? And I've said this a couple times. Since Seattle, I've gotten a much different vibe about Shohei Ohtani since I was at the All-Star game. He is much more comfortable in his own skin, understanding his place in the baseball world. I think Ohtani ends up, I'm saying this on the record right now, New York, Chicago, or L.A. And I don't think it's the Angels anymore. I don't. And I don't think it's the Mets. I think it's the Yankees if he wanted to go all
Yankees,
the way east.
Dodgers, Cubs.
Yes, I do. So if you have a shot at Ohtani, you don't spend on Cody Bellinger. So think about that as well. Maybe that's why they're not gung-ho about it right now. Let the dust settle. We'll talk to Cody again. We've got time to talk to him if we have no chance at Shohei. I'm telling you, they have a shot at Shohei. I didn't think that 2 months ago.
Wow. That is a great thing to hear.
In part because of what I know about Shohei, but also I think the Cubs want him. They wanted him the first time around. Why wouldn't they want him now?
True. You're correct. 312-332-3776. Let's go to James on the Northwest side. Hey, James, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Cap? Wondering, I think Matt Mervis could be a trade candidate. And I was wondering, can you get much from him? Because obviously it looks like they're going to try to sign Bellinger is the future first baseman. Just want to hear what you guys think. Thanks.
Well, we don't know that they're doing that with Bellinger. Mervis could be part of some package, sure, or maybe straight up. I don't know where he ranks in their prospect rankings these days. Maybe
I'll
look
it up for you. Look
that up. But he's not. We know he's not 1, 2, 3, 4. He was never highly rated in the first place. He burst onto the scene, had his cup of coffee here. He's working through some things. The numbers are still good. Yeah, you could get something from Matt Mervis. But I don't know that they would do that. Left-handed power doesn't grow on trees. You don't know if you're getting Bellinger back. So if they don't have a lot of faith in Mervis and other teams are just looking at his numbers, then, yeah, maybe someone else likes him better than you have to self-scout, right? So I don't know. I don't know. But, sure, he could be part of some package if you're looking for a veteran and you want to send Mervis to San Diego for Snell or something like that. Yeah, absolutely. I just don't know if he's the premier prospect that PCA is and other guys.
All right. We have Shot or No Shot coming up next. We'll get to more of your calls. A lot of baseball talk. We'll get to football talk. We get around the NFL at 8:18. We've got Jake in for Shay. We have Jay Moore at the controls. And Jesse's in for Hoodie. I'm Cap. This is ESPN 1000. Back in 2 minutes with Shot, No Shot.